You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
In your Bibles tonight to 1 Kings, if you would. And if you don't have a Bible, that will be quite a trick. But if you don't have one and would like to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, if you lift your hand, we'll have somebody bring you a Bible. All right. Just keep your hand up till you get one. We're right here behind you. 1 Kings. Chapter 17. Let me say this about that Bible. If you don't have one here with you, by that for those of you from out of town and you don't have Bible here while you're going to be staying in one of our facilities, just keep that one as a gift from the rec room. Let that be yours. Not a way you can feel free to highlight things in it, underline, write in the margins. That can be your Bible, and we want you to have it. God has been good in helping us, and people helping us with Bibles, and we're very thankful for that, because that's a lot of help. We give away a lot of them, and we want to give away. That's why we got them. We're not saving them. We want to give them away. 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me give you a little bit about background. Paul said in the New Testament that all these things in the Old Testament were written for our learning, that we could find out something from them. And the reason we can is because man hasn't changed and God hasn't changed. God is still as holy as he ever was, and man still as rotten as he ever was. And we're living, and at the time we're going to talk about tonight was the lowest time in the history of Israel. They had the sorriest king that they'd ever had. His name was Ahab. And is said in the scripture that he's the worst king that Israel ever had. And the morals were low. Everything was just terrible. The politics were terrible. It about the only way you could compare it would be to 2011 in the United States. And old Ahab, if you don't remember his name, you'll remember his wife's name. Her name was Jezebel. Everybody remembers Jezebel. She's kind of like, she and Ahab remind me of these two brothers in a town. They're both of them just sorry as they could be. They gambled, they stole, they cheated, they run around on their wives. They were drunks, and one of them died. And the other brother went to the local preacher, and he said, "Sir," he said, "if you'll just get up and tell everybody that my brother was a saint, I'll put $10,000 in your church." And this really put that preacher in a dilemma, because everybody knew this guy was just sorry as he could be. But boy, they needed that $10,000. See, I don't know of a church that's ever had too much. I've never been to one that said, "Hey, would y'all just stop giving for a while?" This guy thought about it, went back to the brother, and he said, "Yes, I will." And he got up that afternoon at the funeral, and there lay the dead bad brother, and there's the live bad brother sitting right there on the front row with the family. And he got up and he said, "Everybody in this congregation knows how bad John here's been. You know his reputation, you know how he's mistreated people, how he's lied, how he's cheated, how he's stolen. But," he said, "let me say this, in comparison to his brother, he was a saint." Well, in comparison to Jezebel, old Ahab might have been a saint, because she was worse than Ahab. And there, one day, out of nowhere, in the Bible doesn't give us any background on this guy, there was a prophet, a preacher by the name of Elijah. And in chapter 17, 1 Kings, verse 1, this is the first time he's ever mentioned in the Bible, and it said, "Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab," I mean, he just shows up, he's right in Ahab's face, and he says, "The Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." He said, "It's not going to rain for years. And it's not going to rain till I say it's going to rain." And he's telling this to the king. But he starts this out as he said, "The Lord God liveth," because the way they were living was like God was dead. We have that same thing today. We don't pay much attention to God. We're going to do it our way, and we'll work it out. And Elijah makes his announcement, and he's gone, just like that. And for the next few years, Ahab spends all of his time trying to find him. He is after him. How dare him talk to the king like that and then stop the rain? That's terrible. And they went 3.5 years without any rain. Now we're having problems, and we hadn't gone a year without rain. And West Texas, somebody said, back during Noah's flood, it winked, got 4 inches. But we've got some rain problems. But they went 3.5 years. The book of James tells us how long it was. Old Elijah just said for years, and then went out till it rained, it's going to rain. Now then, I want you to move to 1 Kings 18. Go with me to the next chapter, and we'll pick up at verse 17. It came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam, a false god. Now notice, they're first mentioned, they're head to head now, one's accusing the other one. And so we're going to see a challenge laid down here. In the next verses, he said, I've lost my place now. Okay, where was I here? In verse 19, he said, now therefore, and this is Elijah speaking, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Now, I just entitled this a showdown with fire and water. There's a lot of different titles we can talk about it, but we're going to see some fire and water working in this. But here's what Elijah said. He said, you get all you false preachers. Somebody asked me one time, you said, they're false preachers. They're probably more false ones than they are true ones. Yeah. If you wonder, go to Yellow Pages and see how many denominations are listed. And see how many different ideas people got about this. And we're in the Bible Belt of West Texas. We're not in Chicago where they'd have a whole lot more. We don't have a lot of Muslim churches here. There are a lot of things that we don't have. Only got one Jewish church, and they got them a female rabbi. Even the Jews gone contemporary. You know that? That's a lie. Anyhow, Elijah came unto the people, verse 21, and said, how long halt you between two opinions? How long are you going to be wishy-washy? He said, if God be God, let's serve him. And if he's not, if Baal be God, let's serve him. Doesn't that sound like a fair challenge? He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now, they're not going to make any commitment until they were normal Christian people, because they... No commitment. What was the guy told me one time? He said, never try to get a Baptist to sign a pledge. He said, never get a Methodist to turn in the Bible, and never get a charismatic microphone. He said, just stay away from those things because they will be in trouble. But he said, then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call you on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord that answereth by fire, let him be God. And the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now they commented. But he said, here's what I'm going to do. You take a bullock, I'll take a bullock. And the God that answers by fire, let's let him be God. And they said, that sounds good. Let's do that. And then he let the false preachers go first. He was courteous. And they spent all morning. Let's look at this. They took the bullock. In verse 25, Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any answer, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Notice how tolerant he is. He mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking or he's pursuing. Now, I don't know what he'd be chasing, but maybe women. I don't know. He is on a journey or peradventure. He sleepeth and must be awakened. You got to wake him up. Elijah's over taunting them. They say, that's not very Christian. Well, see, sometime when you deal with the devil, you just deal with the devil. And he got right up in his face. They cried aloud, verse 28, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lassets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Nothing happened all day long. They're going into all physical gyrations. They're hollering and begging for the fire to come, and nothing happens. Now, this is a test. Maybe you need to run some of these tests in your life, see? Now then, here's what Elijah said. Notice. He said, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. The first thing he did is fix things up. There's always some repair we need to do. We might want to call it repentance sometime. But there's some things we need to get straight that we need to fix in our lives. We've got some problems in our life. They may be sins of omission. They may be sins of commission. Or they may be sins of disposition. One guy said this about another one. He said he's the most even-tempered man I ever met. He's mad all the time. Sins of disposition. He said, verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the children of sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, now here, the odd thing about this is he adds something a little bit different. It was normal to clean up the altar. It was normal to cut up the bullock and put him on the altar. It was normal to put the wood there. What's not normal is digging a ditch. And we'll see that the ditch was for the water. Notice, he said he filled 4 barrels of water and poured on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it again, the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. That's 12 barrels of water. That's got the altar soggy. That's got the bullock soggy. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Verse 35, the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. This is a very short prayer, 63 words, and he prayed it very briefly and then stepped back because the fire is falling. He said, consume the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Not a God, the God, the only God of the universe, the only God that counts. We got a bunch of lesser gods, and we can worship them all we want to, and those of us that are not doing it have done it. And he said, the Lord, He is the God. Now, saying that and responding and reacting to it is two different things. But let me talk to you very quickly about why water. This is a very unique situation. Only time in the Bible that water is ever used in a sacrifice like this. The sacrificial system was introduced to the nation of Israel back in the book of Leviticus. He told them how to do this. He set up a priesthood. They had the altar. He told them what to sacrifice, what kind of animals. All of this was done according to the book. But nowhere in any of those did anybody ever pour water on the sacrifice. Never. It's a whole different thing. It doesn't come before. It's never come afterward. And he drenches this sacrifice with water. Why water? I'll give you three things, I think. Number one, it guaranteed the fire was God's fire. Normally, what do you put out fire with? Water. Yeah. Here we got the water putting out, we got the fire putting out the water. Got all this water and here comes the fire. Now let me tell you something. Most of us, if I'd been building this altar, I'd use gasoline. I want to make sure the fire burns. I want to give it every chance for God to look good. I want to look good. I don't want to embarrass myself. So I would have probably got some flint rock and gasoline and poured on a... Elijah pours water. He's made everything soggy. Maybe even heated up the altar a little bit. Throw a little charcoal in there. Number one, this proves it is God's fire, not man's fire. We have a lot of wildfire. I mention every now and then Uncle Bud Robinson, who was that old, what we used to call holiness preachers. And Uncle Bud was praying one time, and he was just praying very loud, and this preacher told him, he said, Uncle Bud, said, God's not deaf. He said, I know that, but he's a long way from here, and I'm having to holler. He ain't in your church. I got to yell. See? Number two, Elijah gambled his reputation on God. Now, if there's ever a time a man could look like a fool, this is it. Well, dummy, no wonder the fire didn't start. You poured water all over everything. What have you done here? See, let me tell you something. We're not here to demonstrate what we can do. We're here to demonstrate what God can do. And most of us get tied up in that. If I'm not careful, I'm using a lot of personal pronouns instead of thee, thou, and thine. He can look like a pure idiot in this situation. All the people of Israel can laugh him out of there. And the last thing in the world we want to be is for somebody to laugh at us. Hey, we always want to be cutting edge. We want to be out there in the lead. And he could be the biggest fool in history if God doesn't answer. So he gambled his reputation on God. Let me say this. If God doesn't take care of it, we're going to lose anyway. See? And then the third thing, he granted the obvious answer to who's God. Remember when he started out, he said, if God be God, let's serve him. And if Baal be Baal, let's serve him. Let's follow him. It couldn't be any more obvious than this, what God did. And I will tell you this, in your life and in my life, there's been times that we knew without, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we knew that God was doing something. Now, how we responded to it, it's been different in different times, different situations. But we know. See, nobody ever went to hell on ignorance. Are you listening? Anybody that ever went to hell and is ever going to hell will go because they willfully, deliberately, knowingly chose to ignore Jesus Christ. See, nobody ever goes to hell for smoking pot and running a crack house and stealing cars. Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's unbelief is the only thing. And just as those people saw God move, everybody in here and sometime in your life has seen God do something for you and didn't do anything about it. I've done it. You've done it. You may be doing it tonight. We're back to the question. How long? We're back to this question. How long will you put off your decision? You remember he asked the children of Israel, why halt you between two opinions? You're sitting here. Which way are you going to go? And there is no neutrality with God. Jesus said, he that is not with me, listen carefully, is against me. And if we went up and down the aisle tonight and I said, how many of you are against Jesus? I don't think any hands would go up. Well, no, sir, I'm not against Jesus. I may not be doing too much for him, but I'm sure not against him. You know what Jesus said? If you're not with me, you're against me. There's no fence to straddle. You're either for him or against him. You either trust him or you distrust him. It's very simple. Religion gets complicated. Christianity is very simple. And here's what I'm asking you. And I'm going to ask you as you bow your head and you close your eyes. How long have you been halting between two opinions? What are you doing? You know. We're not talking about something you don't know. We're not talking about things that we're unsure of, that we don't have the knowledge about. We're talking about what we know. Just like those people knew that day when the fire came from heaven, that it was God Almighty that did it. And you know that God has protected you. You know that God has brought you here. You know that God has brought you to this part of your life. You know, and one thing all of us know is that there have been times in our life that our lives could have been snuffed out. And nobody would have been surprised. Because that's the lifestyle we were in. You know that. Now here's what I want to ask you. Why do you keep putting it off? Would you come tonight and say, Leland, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm tired of being between two opinions. I want to get it settled tonight. I want to settle eternity tonight. Stand to your feet if you would, heads bowed and eyes closed. And if you want to get that problem solved tonight, you say, Leland, I want to be saved tonight. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So while our heads are still bowed, our eyes are still closed, I want Christians to be praying. I want those that are not Christians to be thinking about your choice tonight. And would you come and say, I take Jesus as my Savior, as Charles sings. Would you come? Is he calling you? Come on. Would you come? Moment, I'm going to ask Charles to sing one more verse. That'll be the last one. Have you done what God wants you to do? Because see, no choice is a bad choice. There's no neutrality, no fence to straddle, no place to say King's X. He that is not with me is against me, Jesus said. Would you be honest with yourself and come on this verse and trust Christ as your Savior? Come on, this one verse, would you come? Come on. Time is now. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the one that came. Father, we pray for those that should have come and didn't. Father, I ask you tonight, would you give them another chance? I know you don't guarantee that, but I just pray that you would. Father, be with those that are here. Let them know that they can make that decision in their bunk, in their car, wherever they might be, that they can trust you and that you will take that trust and never betray them. Thank you for those that are here tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. The refreshments are open. Don't forget to Purple Box.
His name is wonderful. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.